Yes, it's another great day to feel great about being in Tallahassee with Cindy Mead coming to talk to us about the city's Parks and Recreation Department and her work there for the last 20 plus years. And then I've got Jan Smith with Tallahassee Community Chorus, another magnanimous season coming up. You stay with me, you're going to love it.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Don't forget Chevy. Welcome again to another exciting edition, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On this 1st of September, happy Labor Day, Labor Day weekend, lots of things to talk about. And no doubt you are weary. Maybe we're all just a little weary of the political talk of late, and man, bunches of it. But, you know, it's the world we live in, particularly when you have as many candidates involved, and we've talked for the last several weeks with those in the know, people like Jeffrey Schwerz and Bill Cotterell, Tom Flanagan, Mark Early, our very own supervisor of elections. It's a remarkable time, I think, for us culturally, here's my opinion, that we come to a kind of crossroads in thinking. And, you know, I've preached at you before about what's really at stake. Is it really about Trump? Is it about Clinton or Sanders? Is it really a contest between parties, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat? I mean, to me, it is not. You have to really peel back some of that and decide where the root disagreements lie. And I won't repeat too much of what I've already said to you on other occasions, although it's never stopped me before. It's a question of knowing what it is that you and I really believe in and what we believe to be worthwhile, what we believe to be sound, whether it's social policy, fiscal policy, how we manage resources, I mean human and natural. How we care for one another. How do we care for those that genuinely, sincerely are in need of care? How do we help those who don't need a lot of help, but maybe they just need a little motivation and opportunity? Well, lots of answers, lots of colors in the paint box on all of those kinds of questions. You know, what's good for our town? You know, more business, more development. Well, then that's going to push at the question of how we preserve our urban canopy. Yeah, trees, the natural setting. And so local candidates have seized on those kinds of questions right here at ground level. How do we care for the most underprivileged? How do we open up the doors for those who have felt, and with maybe very good reasons, disenfranchised? Or who have just simply been shunned, or if not by design, by default, have been left out of the conversation. And all of the candidates that we've had opportunity to talk to have come to those questions. And in the context of that conversation, it was about, well, you know, I understand how it mean, what it means and how it is for those people who find themselves in that capacity, trying to survive, trying to make it work, trying to make a living. In any case, not too many decisive outcomes other than those that were most predictable. Let's say, you know, Governor Rick Scott going up against Senator Nelson. Yeah, pretty much they knew going in that that was a primary of formality. Then you had the Gillum thing and all of the outcome from Gillum's victory in the primary, going up against his opponents, most notably Gwen Graham, who at the outset was the front runner. I mean, yeah, so Mayor Gillum was like the dark horse back there in fourth or fifth place. First time a Tallahassee mayor has won the primary, is now in the race for the governorship. Wow. And I have to be honest with you here. I mean, it's a bit disheartening for me when there's so much to be celebrated about Tallahassee. And that's what we're here to do. And we're going to do it today because I've got a couple of great guests lined up for you that'll warm your heart, I think, and give you more to cheer about. But so it is that our mayor wins the nod from the Democrat Party first time ever, right? Or is that not right? I think it's the first in a long time anyway. What's important is Tallahassee gets noted for its mayor now being the candidate for governor. And he is referred to as, you know, a Bernie Sanders socialist, you know, mayor of a crime-ridden town, an FBI investigation. I mean, so it's like we can't even enjoy the fact that, you know, one of our own made it to the front of the line. Yeah, such it is, my friend. You know, what do they say? That if it bleeds, it leads. So I guess we'll live with that. We have little choice in the matter. But nonetheless, we will celebrate those things here that we think are worth celebrating. So congratulations, Mayor Gillum. And we'll certainly be looking on with great interest as we go forward. What a remarkable contest then between two extremes, DeSantis and Gillum. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting, another 75 days ahead of this, in this left in this contest. Speaking of contests, of course, on this weekend, here's something to celebrate. We got FAMU taking the field tonight on their brand new turf. Yeah, they were celebrating that the other day. They had the ribbon cutting out there with Dr. Larry Robinson, and they've got this beautiful new installation of all of the turf there for Bragg Memorial Stadium. That game is tonight at 5 o'clock, and we certainly wish them well. So we say go Rattlers, FAMU taking the field again, Bragg Stadium at 5 o'clock. And they, let's see, who are they playing? They are playing Fort Valley State, so it's a home game. And Florida State football back online, coming in on Monday night, 8 o'clock. They'll be on ESPN and various other media outlets. You can find all that information online. But they're playing the Hokies, Virginia Tech, at Florida State, 8 o'clock Monday night. Go Noles. So kicking off Florida State Seminoles football season. So contests abound, political and athletic. And in that context, we are going to welcome our friend Cindy Mead. She'll be with us in the second hour to talk about athletics, particularly related to city's parks and recreation. She's the manager of operations over there for their neighborhood affairs department. So we're going to find out all about that in this new park or ball field, Capitol Park, that David Ross has had a hand in revitalizing. Great gift to the city. And in the first hour, Jan Smith will be with me talking about another celebrated fact, the Tallahassee Community Chorus in its wonderful performances throughout the years on a global stage. They are highly recognized, great ambassadors for the city. Tallahassee Community Chorus opening their 2018-19 season. And Jan Smith, the president, will be here to tell us all about that in the second hour. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The 2018-2019 season for Tallahassee Community Chorus is soon upon us, my friend. It boggles my mind anyway, maybe not yours, but I think, oh, for the sweltering dog days of summer, where have they gone? And already we're talking music coming to us by way of this magnificent chorus, our very own Tallahassee Community Chorus, under the baton of the celebrated Dr. Andre Thomas, who, regrettably enough, keeps talking about retiring. I've launched a campaign protesting this, so we just cannot allow this to happen. We'll get you more details on that later. Meanwhile, I've got Jan Smith here. Once again, our very good friend, the president of this here fine chorus. And she is going to tell us all about what's coming up. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You're looking good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You
too bad
too.
It's radio.
Too bad it's radio.
They can't see how beautiful we are, but you sound good too.
You always look good on radio.
Don't I? It's yeah. Said... my mom used to tell me that. It's kind of hurt my feelings. Brian, you have the right face for radio. Thanks, Mom. So the chorus in all of its magnificence, once again, coming to us with this opener, November the 18th. This is a Sunday for you who are taking notes, and you should because you don't want to miss this. And you've got Magnificat. Yes. We know that word. And the rather remarkable composition, celebrated work of Johann Bach. And then you're going to turn around within that same performance and do Messiah for us. And then we're going to see like 300 people just pass out. either of those would test the mettle of the normal human being. But you guys are like superheroes. You just decide you're going to take them on. You got to be just like a kid in a candy shop getting ready to do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's just so much fun to look forward to the season starting every summer. It's kind of like when we gather for first rehearsal, it's kind of like a big family reunion. You know, everybody comes in, you know each other, and we've got a lot of new people this time. And we've got some returning people who haven't sung with us in a while who want to spend the last season with Dr. Thomas. So it's a
that's a good reason.
It'll be a great group, and the music all season will just be fantastic.
We've talked about this before, on your prior appearances here on the show. Mm-hmm. His legacy being what it is and being recognized worldwide. Not only among those who are choral masters and performers in various organizations, but just everyday honest people who have attended the concerts where he has been conducting.
Yeah,
man, he is a rock star.
He
in
is
that choral world.
Yeah, he is a rock star in the choral world, and in our world too. I mean, we've been so privileged and so lucky to have him on our podium as our artistic director for 31 years.
It's astounding in and of itself, that contribution. And here's Tallahassee benefiting as a result, because you folks, and I said this to Randall on one occasion, if I've said it once, I've probably said it twice or more, that you have a kind of ambassadorship to me, that you guys go out there not only for us here locally, but you're around the world performing under his leadership and tutelage. And then, wow, what a great way to be known. Oh, you guys are the Tallahassee Community Chorus. I thought you guys were like just a football team or something. And yes, some of us do play football, but we sing too.
Right. Yeah, we're more than just a football team.
More than a football team, yeah. They're looking for the garnet and gold or something, I suppose. You guys do this. You're all volunteering your time. For the love of it, we would say, to quote John Houseman, right? And right. I salute you, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
The amateur, you know, who does this for the love of the performance and the love of the music itself. Here you have in this opening performance, the Magnificat and Messiah. What do you think?
Well, they're two really great choral works, large choral works that we perform with full orchestra and soloists. And it's been so much fun to learn this music.
Yeah.
You know, some folks will be singing, like me, will be singing the Magnificat for the first time.
Huh.
And it's a little daunting because it's Bach.
Kinda.
And of course, the Messiah is just a favorite.
I'm convinced.
We'll do the Christmas portion.
I'm convinced that Bach was insane.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The man was insane, trying to fill up every measure of the page with as much music as he could squeeze out of his little pen. Unbelievable. How do you sing all those notes?
I know. It's
there's more notes than there's time.
That's what everything I read about this piece says, that the piece tests the mastery of the singers. And I'm thinking,
duh.
Yeah.
I don't think the human lungs can hold that much air in one
But it's
measure.
A piece that Dr. Thomas has always wanted us to do. So he in his last season, we're going to do it.
Wow.
And he kind of felt like we would start with something we've done in the past. We performed Messiah a couple of times. And then we would end the season with something newer.
How clever.
Which will be the premiere of his Mass.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about that. We've got to take a break here in just a second, but I want to point out, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with some of this work, Bach's Magnificat is set in Latin text, and it's the story of the Virgin Mary as told by the Gospel of St. Luke. And if you remember, the Magnificat is really her song of exultation and joy, having been informed by the angel that she is going to bear this child. So Bach takes that as his text and says, what would that sound like if there were a couple of hundred voices in exultation of that, along with the soloists? But every note is designed to embellish the words and the passages that challenge the technical mastery of the singers. Couldn't have said that better myself. I'm reading from their website, by the way, folks. If you want to go check it out, it's tcchorus.org. We're going to take that quick break that I promise. We'll be back in just a moment. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks
with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. I've got Jan Smith here, president of Tallahassee Community Chorus, celebrating its 31st season. So here comes the chorus. In their 2018-2019 season, we talked about this opener. Again, that's November the 18th. As we go into that holiday season, what a great way to get that going, right?
Yeah.
With Magnificat and Messiah. Then you come back in January. Tell us about Unity 14.
Well, in Unity 14, we're going to celebrate the arts and education, primarily the choral arts.
Yes.
So we've invited several high school choirs to sing with us.
Ooh.
Locally, the choirs from Childs High School, Lincoln High School, and Leon High School will join us, and they will each perform their own piece. They will perform their own works on stage. And then we've also invited a couple of out-of-town choirs, a middle school choir from West Palm Beach area, Boca Raton area, and the West Orange High School choir in Orlando.
I'm curious.
So both of the conductors were students of or know Dr. Thomas.
So are these his decisions, or does this come by way of a chorus council or something? How do you decide what your Unity concert? Because I know it's different every year.
Every year, every year for Unity, we focus on an issue or something that is we feel is important to the community. And sometimes we'll invite other musicians to come in and celebrate that issue with us.
Okay.
And it's kind of a joint. Dr. Thomas is the artistic director, so he decides
it's his thing.
What we perform.
Yep. Yep.
And the board kind of works along with him to determine the theme and all of that.
So. And again, the if you'll pardon me, the downbeat on this concert, then this is January the 26th, 7:30 p.m., not an afternoon, but an evening
it's a
time.
Saturday evening.
Saturday evening, the 26th, and this downbeat on the importance of arts in education. And then you've got all of these high school choirs coming together. I noticed one thing here. You're going to close that concert with a performance of the triumphant Song of Democracy by Howard Hanson. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have performed Song of Democracy before, and this will be a mass. All the choirs will perform Song of Democracy, joined by the Tallahassee Community Chorus. And it's basically, it was a work that was commissioned to be performed by school choirs and orchestra. So it kind of focuses on the importance of education and extending your knowledge. And it's kind of a it's a setting of two Walt Whitman poems by Howard Hanson. It's a very it's a favorite piece of school choirs and other choirs, and it's been, I think it will sound familiar to our audience.
All right, so then we go forward into April.
Yeah.
And you have the spring concert, which you have dubbed Tribute.
Yes.
On April the 13th, again, an evening concert, Saturday night, the 13th, 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
All of these shows are at Ruby Diamond, are
they
not?
Yes, all of them are at Ruby Diamond.
Right, okay.
The theme of the concert is tribute, and it's a kind of a mutual tribute. It's our tribute to Dr. Thomas. This will be his last appearance on the Ruby Diamond stage.
I see.
And before us. And we will also premiere the Southeastern premiere of his Mass, which he's dedicated to us.
I got you.
So it's a very exciting thing. All of the FSU choirs and the University Symphony Orchestra will join us to also pay tribute to Dr. Thomas. And we'll open the concert with Zadok the Priest by Handel, which is a coronation anthem. So it's a very big, you know, it's a great opening for this concert.
Big sound.
All the choirs will be singing that. So.
Well, and I will say, as a attendee, and both my wife and I have been at many of those performances, for those who have not, there's nothing more, I suppose, moving than having this wall of sound come at you.
Yes.
Nearly 300 voices. I mean, I know that kind of varies
from one
season.
Yeah, for spring, for Zadok the Priest, it'll probably be closer to 500 voices.
I mean, folks, you can't replicate this in any other fashion, but when you are in the presence of that kind of magnitude, you better buckle up, because it's gonna leave you an impression that you'll carry with you. In a way that I find particularly true of the chorus, it's impressive, it's inspiring, it's even charming. And I think that part of it comes back to the, I don't know if this is the way to put it, but there's a kind of humility among you. None of you seem to carry that, you know, sort of air about you that somehow, you know, we are the choir after all, or the chorus. But it's always been my observation that everybody comes very humbly, offering what talents they bring, and there's this, that sense of privilege, I guess.
Yes, I think that's true. We try to do the best we can. And that's what we bring. We bring the best efforts we can bring. And we have in the chorus all levels of musical ability singing there. We have folks who have never sung in a chorus this size, or who learn music primarily by ear, to choir directors and music students, graduate students, and all kinds of different singers, all levels of singers ages.
I recall, too, that uniquely enough, it's a non-auditioned choir. So I don't have to go and try out. I simply commit to being part of the chorus, and then kind of that's how it goes, right?
That's the contract. You commit, you learn the music, you do your best. And we like to have singers commit for the whole season, particularly this season, because we've got a lot going on.
We've got a trip
in the middle of it. That's a pretty important one.
Tell us about that.
Well, in February, by invitation, we will be singing the opening concert at the American Choral Directors Association's 60th Annual National Conference.
How cool is that?
That will be the world premiere performance of Dr. Thomas's Mass. So this will be done, performed before, you know, several thousand, will be two performances before several thousand folks from all over, choral directors and people like that from all over.
Did you get what she just said? This chorus is taking you and I, Tallahassee, out on a world stage once again and performing a musical work unique to this community, coming from our very own Andre Thomas.
Yes.
Wow.
And we will be the choir performing it, not a mass choir.
Indeed.
So it's very exciting. Mm. We're really looking forward to it. It's February in Missouri, but it'll be cold, but we can deal with it. So it's a great honor. It's not something that is conveyed on every, particularly non-auditioned choir. They typically audition choirs.
And if I'm not mistaken, here we are talking about this on the 1st of September. Mm-hmm. You are able to continue to join the choir even at this date, right?
Yes, you can join us. We have two more registrations left on September 17th and September 24th.
Okay.
And you can register online at tcchorus.org anytime before that.
All right. I'm going to say that for you one more time, tcchorus.org. And you can register there to be a part of this. And you, too, could go to Missouri in February and be a part of this magnificent performance.
Yeah.
Just make sure you bring your mittens. That's all I can tell you.
That's right.
Yeah. And maybe a very well-knitted wool scarf would help, too.
Great.
Got to keep the pipes
keep the throat
from,
warm,
from freezing up on you. Have I missed anything here? What else have we got? We, I guess the other thing we should tell you, too, is if you want to buy tickets, mm-hmm. well, Jan has sat up nights working on this website, making sure that you can do so easily enough. Okay, so Carl helped some. But yes. the really cool thing is you go to the website, tcchorus.org, and then there's a little, there's a link here. And I can look at the season, right, mm-hmm. under events. Right. And then I can go to ticket and subscription information. And you can even, is this right? I can buy merchandise?
Well, we have some merchandise, yes.
Well, that's cool.
But we have a CD you can buy.
Ooh.
But you can, season subscriptions are now available.
Gotcha.
And we would love to have season subscribers. And all of our seating in Ruby Diamond is reserved.
Neat.
But you get priority for reserved seating if you're a season subscriber.
So. I see. So that's the cool thing. The cool kids, they're the ones that get the subscriptions. I got it. Well, I want to be one of the cool kids, so I better do that. Folks, I got Jan Smith with me. Stay right where you are because we're going to talk a little bit more of this young lady before we let her go. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just tasty pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are. We're back, and we're talking with Jan Smith, Tallahassee Community Chorus, their upcoming season of magnificent stuff. Curiously enough, their opening performance featuring Magnificat, and we talked a little bit earlier about the context of that. Question for you, Ms. Jan. You think about 31 years, and I realize that you haven't been in the chorus for 31 years. However,
yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
Well, I beg your pardon. I didn't judge you to be old enough to be in the chorus.
Well, thank you, Brian.
You must have been...
I was just a mere child.
I was going to say, what, you're like 12?
Yes, 12.
When you joined the chorus. Okay. Well, there you go. So for 31 years, you've been a part of this organization. Andre Thomas, we've already talked about his contributions worldwide. The humility, the sort of humble approach that each of you seem to take in this, there's a lot of self-awareness, I think, in that regard. You guys really come for the love of it all. Is that a trickle-down? Is that something that you think he's infused?
Oh, yes, I definitely think
so.
Dr. Thomas is, at his heart, he's a teacher. And he's a very nurturing teacher. So he has he's got a very welcoming way about him, and he's easily approachable by the chorus members. Mm-hmm. And we mm-hmm. get to see him every Monday night. I mean, that's a gift. When we travel to other places and sing with other choirs, they are so envious of the fact that Andre Thomas is our conductor and that we get to spend regular rehearsals with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the people at your home take you for granted. Mm. I always say that to him. Mm-hmm. But we do appreciate so much what he's given us. And I think it's what motivates the choir to give back to him. That and everyone else's really strong desire to produce a product that everyone can be proud of. And that's really what everyone strives for. And you know, and he has said, you know, when people sing together, they can't hate each other.
Yeah.
And so we come together on Monday nights and it's all the other stuff kind of goes away. And you're just there focusing on learning this great music.
Right.
And that's the best part about Monday nights. I've had other former chorus members and students tell me Monday night was always my favorite night of the week.
Yeah.
Because they knew they could come to a place where that's what we would be doing.
Yeah.
And it's just a great experience.
That's a curious observation for me, because I think of community and family and society, though at various levels of complexity, of course, related to the size and diversity. But there are certain dynamics that are constant, and one of those is celebration.
Right.
Whether it's a concert, a festival, a parade, something, a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we come around those things and discover there's a lot more that unites us than divides us. We're a lot more alike than we are different.
True.
And as long as we've affirmed that, it seems to me there's hope for those who come behind us that will find there is something yet remaining of what we have built.
Yeah.
I think the chorus is part of that. And I, you know, we talk a lot around here about the new Tallahassee. Well, this is an example to me, because you guys have grown up as we have grown up as a community.
Yeah.
And here you're doing works that the most seasoned of performers would go, well, now that's a challenge. And my goodness, you guys are going to take this on full throttle and come back in spades, I have no doubt. Is there a point at which you hope the chorus can do even more? I know that you cooperate with local nonprofits, charities, whether it's elder care, you know, Meals on Wheels, the Second Harvest. That's always been kind of part of the whole mix, hasn't
it? Yes, and for the fall concert, our nonprofit partner will be the Tallahassee Senior Center.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. We're really looking forward to working with them. But yes, I think the chorus can still go farther. And I think that our outreach efforts into the community could certainly be more. I mean, we'd love to be able to reach out a little more to younger people, to bring them into the chorus and let them experience the joy of singing with a large choir.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of our goals, you know, that we've talked about lately.
That's curious. I've always thought it would be cool, and maybe you and I've talked about this, if you had members of the chorus who could volunteer, as they would anyway, for extra duty, and maybe they form some kind of a little chamber group that can go out to the schools and give them a sampling of, on behalf of the chorus.
Yeah, that is something we've talked about over the years, and it's something we're kind of looking to the future for as well. I mean, we do plan to have a future, so we want people to stick with us.
If we don't plan for it,
after Dr. Thomas may not be is there. Gone. So,
That would be a cool thing, too, if you could see the chorus show up at some of these public venues or even at festivals where, like at Word of South, why don't we have the chorus in some way contribute to the whole musical lineup? I don't know. I'm spinning ideas here. But I do think you guys bring to us something unique, something characteristically unique about how you do it. And what you represent in the diversity that you talk about on a lot of other levels, and yet for the love of it, for the love of this town, and for the love of the music.
Yeah, I think that's really what motivates everyone to show up on Monday nights. Mm. That and just the hope and the goals of reaching the pinnacle of performance for a choir our size and our diversity and our differing abilities. It's pretty amazing.
That diversity is represented or displayed along the age of the singers, I think. You have those who are freshmen in college, and then you have those like me, you know, old guys who are in their 60s and 70s, and we're still up there and belting it out.
Yeah.
And then there are people that travel from around the region to be a part of this, from Bainbridge and Taylor County and all over.
Yeah, South Georgia, west of here, east of here. It's just it's amazing. They come from all over. We've had kids as young as middle school kids singing in the chorus. We have and high school kids, everything from High school to octogenarians. And it's a good blend.
So I'm not quite in the 80s yet. So there's still time for me.
There's still time for you.
I have no excuses other than that I work 15 hours a day. So beyond that, I really ought to reconsider. I had the privilege years ago of singing with the chorus. And honestly, my biggest challenge was keeping up with the music because I wasn't spending enough time on my own rehearsing and learning the music and getting to rehearsal and then Dr. Thomas coming and standing next to me. That was not fun.
Yeah.
But we'll look forward to that. Perhaps I can make that work in the years ahead. And certainly with this coming season, a great opportunity for you, my friend. If you have not considered, please consider it. You can join the chorus. Again, they've got a couple of sessions where you can, those dates again, the
September 17th and the 24th.
And the 24th. Mm-hmm. So you can still jump in that way. And always, you can go in and go to their website, become a donor, subscribe for the season. You're absolutely going to love it. And again, that web address, tcchorus.org. Jan Smith, our guest this morning. Thank you, my dear friend.
Thank you, Brian.
As always, a sincere pleasure. Folks, that's what I have for you here at this juncture. You stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com. Check us out anytime. You want to look at some of those archived shows that we've done for you, every one of them, they're right there. You can search on a given name or topic. And if you've missed something or want to listen again, just to make sure that I said, yes, I did say that stupid thing that I said, yes, you'll have it in fact in front of you. Or you can subscribe to the podcast. That's a good thing to do. A lot of folks have done that. And we know that we get, there's a couple of thousand downloads thus far with podcasts of Tallahassee Talk, so that's cool. Yes, we are very grateful for you, our listeners, and for you who make it your business to tune in every week. We are simulcast on moosemagnificat.com, and again at 93.3 FM Real Talk, Tallahassee. At 9 o'clock Saturday mornings, and then again on Moose Saturday night at 9:30, and Wednesdays on Moose at 5:30. So plenty of opportunity to join us in these conversations we have with so many remarkable folks, learning more about who we really are. What is Tallahassee really all about? Maybe it's just the way it goes. Every city has its high points and its low points and things that we're celebrating, things we're not so proud of. I mean, yeah. It seems to be intensified with us because we are a smaller town. Maybe that's what it is. And so when anything happens here that it's particularly unattractive, you know, whatever, and that seems to make news. But I don't know. I kind of like the fact that we've got a fantastic city parks program. Cindy Mead was here in the first hour talking about David Ross, you know, this Tallahassee boy who made good, two-time World Series champion. Now he's working for Espen. He gets together with Scotts, the folks that make the fertilizer. Yeah. and they do a field refurbishment program around the country, and he's on that board. And he said, look, if I'm going to do this, I want to make sure Tallahassee is on the list. And so they came in and they installed this revitalized Capitol Park, and it now is serving baseball players 13 to 14 years of age. Magnanimous contribution there at Capitol Park, thanks to David Ross and the good people at Scott's. And thanks to Cindy Mead for bringing us up to date on that. So here we are, Tallahassee having been celebrated America's Best Parks. Yeah, that's part of our mantra. That's our, not mantra, that's just part of our moniker, our slogan, our pedigree, our resume. That, whatever. And there's a lot of good stuff about this town, and Jan Smith is going to tell you about the great season up ahead for the Tallahassee Community Chorus. Holy smokes, man. These people are serious. And Dr. Andre Thomas, world-renowned, celebrated across the musical world, from Asia to Europe. It's Africa, the Americas, all around the world. What a marvelous talent he is. You know, kind of like David Ross being here or George Clinton being here. Yeah, we got a lot of claim to fame, but, you know, oftentimes it just gets a little bit weary when you're being overshadowed by negative headlines. I don't know. And that's how I feel about the whole political thing right now. It's just kudos to all of you who threw your hat in the ring, no matter where you ended up in the contest. You know, God bless you. You had the guts to get up there and try. You know, let's thank those people who gave it their best, and maybe they'll be back in future efforts. But in any case, these are people we should admire. You know, it's not about the scoreboard. It's about the character of the people who take the field. Come on. You know, do you really want to think about only those people who end up at the very top? I mean, there's only room for one. But what about all the rest of them? I don't know. I mean, Jeremy Matlow. I think Jeremy Matlow is a pretty cool guy. But so is Lisa Brown. I mean, a great person. Lisa Brown, wonderful woman. Right. So they're both great candidates, and it's hard to say, you know, who would do the better job. I mean, in many respects, they're very much alike, both vying for this seat three. They'll be running off in November now, as it turns out. And we thought Rick Miner had snagged the county job there as, District 5? But there's talk of a recount. I guess the vote was close enough that they want to recount the vote. Okay, that's part of the business, isn't it? In any case, you and I have to be held responsible. It's not up to these individuals who take office. It is you and I who decide what we are, who we are, how this town works, what we're known for, what we care about, where we place our investments, and where we spend our time in recreation and things like ball fields and community choruses, how we contribute to our individual groups that we are a part of, our churches and civic groups. Come on. That's what defines us. That's what makes us special. And, you know, in the process, if we can grab hands and we can all better share in this community that we love so much, so be it. And let's keep on that track. All right, enough preaching. Wanted to remind you that we have this county of ours trying to keep us from getting all eaten up by mosquitoes. So here's another reminder. Protect yourself and your family by draining standing water. You know, mosquitoes, they breed in standing water. So you got to pour out those flower pots and other things around your yard that gather. You know, car tires are a real culprit there too, get filled with water. Be sure you cover your skin and use an EPA-approved mosquito repellent. Yeah, DEET is our friend. slather yourself in some kind of spray. You want to cover your doors and windows with screens. Yeah, that makes sense. And if you have any questions, you can call the county mosquito control office. And by the way, I learned this. If you'll request this of them, they'll come and spray your yard. And I think you're entitled to two of those visits throughout the year. Yeah, they just come up there with their truck and they spray the yard with mosquito spray, courtesy of your county at work, Leon County government. There you go. That number, by the way, 606-1400, Leon County Mosquito Control. All right, so that's good news. What else have I got coming up for you? One thing I should probably point out has to do with our Tallahassee Prepared promotion. You know that we spend a lot of time around here trying to help each other with various projects, and Tallahassee Prepared is one of them. You can go to TallahasseePrepared.com and learn more about the things you can do to make sure your family is safe. Prepared for severe weather throughout the year, thunderstorms, humidity, high heat, floods, yeah, lightning, and yes, high winds, down trees, damage to your roof or your driveway. How to prepare your business. Make sure that your business is weatherproof. Prepared for severe weather throughout the year. That's the game. You'll find it at TallahasseePrepared.com. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months. And that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom bath or shower enclosure from Widden Glass. Don't wait for the holiday rush. Widden Glass will take care of you this summer to your complete satisfaction. They've been helping to design and install bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with real glass people, experienced, reliable professionals. Widden's top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style.
Call today, Widden Glass, the real glass people, 222-5781, or online at widdenglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widden, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Many of us know the name David Ross, famous now for his achievements and retired from the game of Major League Baseball. David Ross, two-time World Series champion. He's now an ESPN analyst, served on the special Blue Ribbon Committee that selected organizations to receive funding for a grant initiative from the Scotts Company, and Scotts Field Refurbishment Program partnered up with Major League Baseball and have contributed sizably around the country, including our very own town of the beloved Tallahassee. So it happens then that this came all under the purview of City of Tallahassee Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhood Affairs Department. I should say that three times. And we have with us this morning the manager of operations for the COTPRNAD. That would be Cindy Mead. How are you, Cindy?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to work on that. Been with Parks and Recreation 22 years.
I have.
10 years. You were 22 years, and before that you were part-time for 10 years is what this is telling me. And now you manage this rather unique part of the whole thing, this neighborhood affairs department, right?
I am.
Tell us about it.
I'm kind of oversee the athletics and gymnastics, aquatics, tennis division, parks division in our parks and recreation department. So if it's something that you may sign up for to play or a field that you play on, I have a part in that, and I'm really excited about it.
That is a cool thing. Yeah. One of my sons and soon-to-be daughter-in-law, Stefan and Kaylee, are big time into Ultimate. And Ultimate has become
the thing for a lot of people, not just people who actually can run, unlike people like me, who probably should not be running that fast anywhere. But I have watched some of these matches being played here on our fields. We take that all for granted, don't we? I mean, you just get out there and start playing. Maybe you don't realize Cindy's over there making sure I don't stub my toe on a rock or fall into a hole or something.
Yeah, actually, our Parks Division do a great job of maintaining all of our turf fields throughout the city. We
it's a
have
big job.
88 parks.
Yeah.
They maintain 110 sites.
Wow.
On top of the 88 parks that we have.
Wow.
And we have about 3,600 acres of parkland.
Sheesh.
So it's a pretty vast department.
But your focus is a little bit different than that, isn't it? It's not just in the physical maintenance of the parks.
Correct.
Right.
So we also work with the programming of those facilities.
Gotcha. Okay. So, again, if I want to sign up for a city league, softball or whatever, you're back there making sure that things go the way they're supposed to go.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Glad that you're there.
Thank you.
And loyal for that matter. My goodness, 22 years. You have kids of your own.
I do.
Tell us about them.
So I have a son who's 20. He attends Florida State University. He's majoring in political science. And my daughter is 17, and she's a senior at Childs High School and a big volleyball player. And
wow.
Both of them have grown up playing Parks Recreation League. So,
like those families where you know the mom and dad are both doctors, right? They really had no choice here. They just kind of fell right into it.
What
a great choice, yeah, to be involved in such things. Getting down to it, were you always that way too? Were you a kid that was always very athletic and? Did sports either intramural or in college, whatever?
I did. I had an older brother, so he threw things at me at a young age. So it was either catch or
Carl,
be hit a lot.
You hear that? Yeah, right. Yeah, I think.
So I grew up playing also in Parks and Recreation Leagues and played in high school.
Cool.
My talent didn't allow me to play in college, but I started playing some Parks and Recreation Leagues as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's just been a passion of mine.
So it's right there for you.
It is.
Isn't that interesting, too, how many people early on in life, right, kind of gravitate to something that it just becomes their thing, and they find opportunity professionally then to extend that.
Right. What is it if you find something that you enjoy doing, you don't work a day in your life?
You just keep going, don't you?
Yeah. So I feel like I've found that niche for me.
So in case you're just tuning in with us, I've got Cindy Mead here. She's telling us a little bit about herself and about this remarkable network of city-operated parks, Tallahassee Parks and Recreation. What did you tell? How many acres?
About 3,600 acres.
Sheesh. Is there any way in which the city and the county then cooperate on any of this stuff? Because, I mean, that's a lot of land. I mean, if you guys look to the county for help, or does the county look to you for help on certain things, maybe maintenance issues? No?
No.
Everybody
we're
kind of runs
separate.
Their own thing.
Yeah. So they have parks also that they maintain in the county areas.
Right.
And they have their own programs and their own maintenance divisions.
Yeah.
So we work cooperatively if we need to bounce ideas off of, or everything's for our citizens, for both of us. So we certainly work cooperatively, but we have our own.
Well, there's been that sort of, I guess you say, a kind of ongoing question about a cooperation city-county, even as far as consolidation of certain services. We have a few examples of that where it's become critical, like, the emergency dispatch center over here on Easterwood Drive. So I ask you that question because at times I think people say, well, why do we have to have both? Why don't we have just one parks and recreation and kind of operate that way? Your involvement with the city, though, for the many years you've been a part of this, you've seen a lot of progress. There's been a lot of advancement. And I think Randy Truesdell was contributive largely in those earlier years.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that history and kind of what you see having happened over your two decades of service.
So I can speak to what I know, actually. So
right.
Randy Truesdell, he was a pioneer in our field. He worked close to 40 years with our department.
Wow.
And in the field of parks and recreation, and really advanced our programs and services that we're able to offer the citizens forward. I know that the Parks and Recreation Department with the county was started when they had some fields that they could do on the outskirts of town, a little further out in the county areas that we didn't have some space, or we didn't have programs at. And like I said, we work cooperatively. County participants can play in our city programs, and likewise city, you know, of course, they're part of the county. So there's no exclusionary practices there or anything.
Nice, yeah.
And as far as consolidating, I'm not really sure. That's kind of above my pay grade.
Yeah,
if you
right.
will. So,
well, for all of us, apparently. None of us have been able to figure that out. I've got Cindy Mead here. She is the manager of operations for the Neighborhood Affairs Department, City of Tallahassee Parks and Recreation. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Cindy Mead, manager of operations, and in fact, that means that if I have an interest in some athletic program, let's say ultimate or softball or little league, whatever, city's involved, here's the city program, you and your staff are those who make sure things are happening on time. That includes any kind of organization of referees and umpires and jazz like that.
Correct.
Right?
So yeah, so for full-time employees, we have approximately 177, 178 full-time employees throughout our department, but we also rely on about 1,000 part-time employees. And those employees are referees, scorekeepers. They work in our community centers with our kids. They are summer youth, summer camp programs, our summer playground programs, our lifeguards, gymnastics coaches. So there's a whole a variety of options, you know, how you can be employed part-time with the City of Tallahassee's Parks and Recreation Department. Lots of opportunities there.
There have been incidences of late where parents losing their cool, going after umps and stuff. I hope we haven't seen much of that happen lately.
Fortunately, we have not. We do training with our parents. They have a sportsmanship paper that we pass out to them to remind them how they're supposed to behave out
in
the fields.
I'm laughing because we think the kids are the ones that need the coaching,
no,
right?
Sir. No, sir, it is not.
It's guys like me.
It is oftentimes the parents.
Take a pill, sit down, and enjoy the game.
And just remember that these are kids playing a kid's game and that there are no scouts around.
I have to be honest, I was the worst. I was the worst soccer dad. I mean, losing my cool, you know, screaming, jumping up and down, and oh my God, just terrible.
Yeah, unfortunately, we still have some of those that do that. We have part-time staff on site, in addition to the officials that are running the game.
And psychotherapists who might need to step in.
That could be a new position we hire.
Never know.
But our part-time staff is there to kind of manage the outside the lines, the parents that are getting a little too excited, that want to help ref the game. Those parents, most of the times they quiet down when we come over and have a conversation with.
Well, that's good to hear. That's not one more statistic that we have to embarrassingly own, if we can say that.
Correct.
I mean,
knock
okay.
on wood, not
okay,
us
yeah,
yet.
Okay, boys and girls, let's all behave ourselves, you know, because didn't we get like a national award or several times we've been recognized nationally?
We did. Our Parks Division department was recognized as best in America in our population size through our National Recreation and Parks Association.
Cool.
Association. So that was an exciting award that we received. We were recognized as, you know, providing programs and having land space and trails and just a whole inclusive recreation division for the citizens of our community.
Good for us and good for you as a department, you know, because, like, again, we're all just sort of here expecting it all to happen. Behind the scenes, we've got a lot of people working it and working it hard every day. Not to mention whatever happens to you seasonally, you know, thunderstorm comes along and wipes out a newly laid piece of grass or something. I don't know. What kind of stuff do you have to deal with weather-wise, I guess?
So it's funny you should say that. So we have clay tennis courts, for example.
Ah.
And these afternoon showers that come in a rush with a lot of rain
just
in a short amount of time. Yeah, it just runs off a lot of clay. And so it takes a lot of work for our maintenance staff there to put the courts back together, if you will. You know,
do they have a way of covering them at all? No, they don't.
We do not.
Well, we need to work on that.
Yeah.
Just like Major League Baseball, right?
There you go. We just need some tarps.
Pull the tarp over the infield.
I keep
Simple.
Saying if we could just get a dome.
Come on.
You know, we'd
yeah.
have a ball field we could always play on if we get a dome.
Yeah, but the dome, then it takes away from the sort of, right, ambiance
right.
of being outdoors
right,
and all
right.
that. No, let's just get it. We'll run over to Lowe's this afternoon.
Get
and
some
just
tarps.
Get the biggest tarp they have in the whole store, right? Me and you.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of courts. We're going to need more than me and you.
Maybe not. Okay.
We have 55 tennis courts.
Is that right?
In our Yeah. Not all clay, but 55 tennis courts
wow.
within our city. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Now, those are, and they're all over the place, aren't they?
Correct. So Forest Meadows is our main tennis hub. That's
right,
where
right.
our clay courts are located.
Right.
But we also have tennis courts at all our community centers, at Winthrop Park, Tom Brown Park, Heilemann Golf Course. There's tennis courts there. So there we 55 with all our city.
Goodness sakes.
It's very vast.
Wow. Okay. So if you've just joined me, I've got Cindy Mead here. We're learning about what it means to be one of America's greatest cities for parks and why that is. And what was the recognition? We were the
best in America.
Best in America.
Through our National
okay,
Recreation
boys and
of
girls,
Parks
let's all say yay for Tallahassee's Parks and Recreation because we're best in America. I don't know. Here comes this whole thing about David Ross and his contribution, having been a Tallahasseean, right? He went to Florida High.
Florida High. Mm-hmm.
Then played for Auburn. Went on to Major League Baseball.
Correct.
Wins the World Series, his final outing,
right? One with Boston Red Sox and then one with the Chicago Cubs.
With the Cubs. And as he made clear at the end of that, he hung it up.
He did.
And now working for Espen and yet true to his roots, he comes back here and says, no, I want to make sure that this whole Scotts Field refurbishment program, we're going to contribute to parks and recreation for the city. Tell us about that whole thing, how that's come together, I guess, and what it means.
So David was asked to sit on the committee to select the fields across America that would earn one of those grants.
I see.
And as part of his willingness to sit on that committee, he struck a deal with Scotts to do a field here in Tallahassee as well. So it wouldn't take away from the five that they gave out throughout the country. It would be an addition to that. So one of the fields that we were wanting to do some work on is Capitol Park, located off of Omega Avenue. It's a field for our 13 and 14-year-old age group. Junior Major League is what we call that program. And David actually played on that field when he was younger and grew up in Tallahassee playing baseball here. So it was a good fit because it fit, you know, something for David. And it was also a field that we needed to do some maintenance work too.
And a good feeling for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's a guy who goes on, achieves greatness. I mean, no greater than to have, pocketed a couple of rings and then has the wherewithal to look over his shoulder and say, I want to remember the folks back home and I want to contribute in this manner to the beginnings that were mine in this town of mine, Tallahassee. Wow.
in addition to doing the field renovations that they did, when we did the opening ceremonies, Cal Ripken Baseball came out and did some clinics. So the Cal Ripken Foundation Baseball. And David, of course, he was out there for the ribbon cutting, and he stayed out there for the entire clinic, working with all the kids that were out there and you know, just talking to all the kids and encouraging them. And David's just a one-of-a-kind guy. Yeah. He is a phenomenal athlete who has come back to Tallahassee and is given back to the community that he grew up in.
In so many ways, giving back, it seems to me, involves seeing the big picture, right? Mm-hmm. Where you look beyond your particular interests, your particular, in his case, baseball, even his own personal experiences as a kid. And he looks out and says, how does this affect the wider circle? Mm-hmm. How do I bring the greatest good to the greatest number of people? Well, I can't think of a more significant way to tie those two things together, his profession and his love of the game, with something that is substantial. I mean, he could have just written a check and said, you know, here, figure it out for yourselves. But he got down there and said, no, I want to be involved in this. Yeah.
He did. And like I said, he is a stand-up guy. Everything that I've been in contact with David on other personal levels, too, with a kid that had a severe illness at Childs High School. He came out and worked with that family a little bit. And,
Cool.
He's just a nice guy. You know, things that he does that goes unnoticed. And it's just nice to have a person like that that lives right here in Tallahassee that's a celebrity.
Yes, he certainly is. David Ross. And our new friend, Cindy Mead, who has been faithfully at work for the last two decades plus, making sure that our city, Tallahassee Parks Recreation, all of that working through this particular department, Neighborhood Affairs. She's the manager of operations. I've got a little bit more time with her. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just tasty pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You've been the manager of operations for what?
The manager of operations for the last couple of years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But with the department
for 22.
22 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, fine. Now we've got that straight. You're also the booster president for Childs High School volleyball program, which, as you mentioned earlier, your daughter plays volleyball there at Childs. How is it that you see yourself, I guess, in relation to this whole endeavor? I mean, you've talked about your own personal passion for sports, and you've always just been that way. You've instilled that in your kids. Mm-hmm. And then you walk into this role, managing parks and recreation for the city. How does that inform you? How does it influence the way you see us as a city? Because again, I think in terms of labeling, right? How we are seen by others, and here you are working within the system. Are there times when you say, "Doggone it, I wish people would see this part of what we are," and then there are times I hope they don't see this part that we are.
I mean, I'm just curious how that is for you from day to day.
I think that it's so important, the life lessons that sports teaches people, especially the kids. Not only is it healthy for the kids, and especially in today's society where kids are obese at an alarming rate, just getting outside and playing off the screens, involved in anything that's outdoors, playing is healthy for them. It teaches you teamwork. It teaches you time management skills. There's just so many benefits that athletics can help for young kids, especially girls. The self-esteem in young women, young girls who play sports is greater than kids who don't. So being involved is just really important. And I think for us as a community, recreation serves a bigger purpose than just throwing out a bat and a ball. It's a stress relief for the adults. It's how we build our friendships. I can tell you that my friendships with people that I hang out with were built through my kids' activities.
Interesting.
And I think that, you know, those are the circles that we, you know, we have in common, and the other parents of the, you know, running the same rat race that we do, and being involved in athletics is where you're spending your time, and that's the relationships that you form. So just in that respect, I think it's healthy. There's just, like I said, just so many benefits, not just the athletics part of it, but even our community centers and the programs that they offer, after school help and tutoring and internet connection for kids that may not have that at their homes, building bonds between the police department and Parks and Recreation with them being involved in many of our activities that we do, so kids see the police in a positive light and that they have positive interactions with the police officers and not something that's negative. There's just so many parallels there that make our city better through our Parks and Recreation Department.
And here we have garnered this America's Best award not long ago. How did that come about, or what has to happen, I guess, for a city to acquire that?
So there was an application process, and you had to submit, you know, how you handle social issues and your recreation issues and how in unique situations. So, for example, our boys choir here in Tallahassee that's just phenomenal.
World class.
They were part of our delegation that went up. And we were.
I remember you all get on your buses and stuff.
Correct.
Everybody else, that was when you guys were going up to Boulder?
Philadelphia, I believe.
Oh, Philadelphia, was it? Okay.
I believe it was in Philadelphia.
But it was at the time when there was this contingent that went out to Boulder, Colorado.
Yes.
And they were all flying out there. You folks got on buses and bussed your way up to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, that was rather poignant.
Yes.
Why don't we put those people on buses and fly the kids? Let's do that. But anyway, that was just me. Sorry.
Yeah.
You were saying.
But I mean, the process that you had to go through were being graded, if you will, against other communities and other programs that they had. So, you know, it was a designation that we're really proud of. I think it shows that, you know, we're doing a lot of things right in our Parks and Recreation Department, how we maintain the programs that we offer, the opportunities that people have. We have two disc golf courses in town. You know, we have a teen center. We have a senior center. We're in the process of working towards building an additional teen center, which is going to be funded through the blueprint money, the half cent sales tax. And that's going to be a great asset to our community. Our senior center is busting at the seams right now.
It's striking to me that so many have wrestled with this question about branding Tallahassee and us coming up with a slogan or promoting ourselves, you know, and you got the people over at Visit Tallahassee, formerly known as the Tourist Development Council, right?
Correct.
Hotel owners and managers and restaurant people, all trying to get people to come to Tallahassee. You guys host, or we as a city host, several regional sports activities. I mean, tournaments, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Parks and Recreation is responsible for about a $15 million impact to our economic impact to our community.
$15 million.
Yeah, with the tournaments that we bring in or using our facilities to host events. So it, you know, we have a broader purpose than just local too.
So do you go over to, you know, Cary Post Office at visit and say, okay, you need to promote this. You need to tell the world.
We have a great working relationship with them. They have a committee. It's called the Sports Council.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a seat on the Sports Council. Okay. It's made up of probably 15 or so.
See, you're so much smarter than I. You had this all figured out. I'm stupid.
No. You just weren't aware. So it's a committee that does look at bringing in, you know, that Amanda Heidecker is the her office there, and they look at bringing in sports or funding
and hosting those events,
correct, or funding some sports, you know, nice, that other people are doing to help with the expenses so that they can bring heads in bed, so to speak.
Yeah, I was thinking of hosting a cigar smoking event, but. Didn't work out too well.
No.
Apparently, they looked at me and said, "Go back. Get back on your radio show, you moron."
So that's frowned upon.
I own that. That's fine. Well, golly, what a treasure trove of information you are, and a delightful soul to have shared the time with us, folks. Another reason to be proud of your hometown here, because. Golly, City of Tallahassee Parks and Recreation, getting it done. And now with this contribution from Scott's Field Refurbishment Program, courtesy of David Ross, our hometown boy, who remembered his hometown and put together this investment in Capitol Park that serves now 13, 14-year-old kids. It's a great, great program, great opportunity to get to know you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here, Cindy. Cindy Mead, our good friend, friend to many, friend to this town, City of Tallahassee, Parks and Recreation. Well, that's what I've got for you today, my friend. I'm glad that you are a part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. You'll find us online at moosemagnificat.com. Playing local musicians and their original songs, The Sound of Tallahassee at Moose Magnificat. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me. At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs, recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients, and made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.